make sure y'all go check the video out. It's very cute. It's
yeah, like it's really a cute. Whole bunch it's of still, cute
couples.
It's still, don't say that. We are everyday couples, actually. There's a lot of everyday couples you will see.
Don't rush, slow touch, brown and white. Like I go crunch, grab and bite. We can go bust, eye for eye. We can lose trust, white rum, fizzy pop. Where you they go, go, we they go up. Catch my vibe, let me go off. Blam the trash.
Hey guys, welcome to Politically Uncensored with me, Zakori Uncensored. Welcome back. I know it's been a minute. While we're all quarantined, I thought it would be a great opportunity to relaunch a new episode of the podcast. Today I'm joined with my friend Pierre from the Freaky Boys, aka Prince Charming P.
What's up?
And Pierre is going to be helping me navigate a conversation that seems to have sparked social media's interest within the last week. If you aren't aware, recently the Don't Rest Challenge, which is a very popular challenge on social media currently, me and my friend went viral, streaming over 2 million views over all social media platforms. It kind of sparked conversation in the Black queer community specifically. Surrounding a few topics, Pierre was helping navigate the conversation on Twitter and on social media, kind of playing devil's advocate. So I thought he would be the perfect person to help us navigate the conversation here on today's episode. So we're going to kind of go over some of the issues that kind of came up and some of the backlash that we received from the video, including, you know, attractive privilege, pretty privilege, some would call it, fat phobia and colorism and, you know, certain issues in the community that people felt like were represented in our video. It's for some reason. So we're just going to go over that and kind of, he's going to ask me a few questions surrounding, I guess, my views on those topics. And we'll be able to get some type of feedback from someone who was actually in the video and receiving the other end of the backlash.
Okay. The first thing I want to ask you for the viewers, well, the listeners at home, how did the video come about? Like, can you describe the creative process? Like, who called who? Like, how did you guys get everybody to come together and create this video? And also tell the listeners, like, what the video was.
Okay, so the video was the Don't Rest Challenge, which if you look at most people's Don't Rest Challenges on social media, it's them, you know, starting off in one form, which is like not so well put together, and coming back being fully dressed and, you know, looking their best, putting on a look that they're proud of. Originally started with a few of the beauty bloggers on YouTube and on social media, with them doing makeup in their second half of the video. Since then, it's kind of transformed into something separate where a lot of people are doing their very own versions of it. You have, you know, a version of like only moms. You have a version of only even strippers currently are doing flight attendants as well. So I was reached out to by one of my friends who's influencer. Well, two of my friends actually who are influencers on social media. The Official Harris Twins actually end up reaching out to me and my partner to do a Black Gay Love edition. They kind of, you know, got the cast together through people that they knew personally. And a lot of us are friends and know of each other already just through social media. And I'm assuming it's a lot of couples that they had already been following on social media as well, that they kind of admired in some way and really wanted to be a part of the project. So that's how it kind of came to be.
Okay. And what was some of the backlash you received?
The backlash that we received, I think it kind of went from one topic to another, which was kind of hard to follow. On Instagram, I think there was like a lot of positive feedback. There was actually really no negative feedback. But Twitter is a platform of its own, in my opinion. So being on Twitter and, you know, Twitter being about actually tweeting and expressing yourself verbally, a lot of people, it kind of started off with one thing that people were saying was that everyone in the video was conventionally attractive. Also, some of the critique was that they would like to see more everyday couples, which we're still in the process of trying to define what that is exactly. And at one point, they even said that some of the couples looked alike in the video, meaning like, you know, it's kind of a stigma around gay couples mm-hmm. when they say you date people that look like you, mm-hmm. which so it went from there to more serious things like fat phobia and colorism. So it was kind of hard to follow the conversation because there seemed to be like a couple different conversations being had. And it felt like the two that stuck were the fat phobia and the colorism. The others kind of like fell to the wayside. They didn't have enough evidence to kind of support those arguments.
Did you agree with any of the criticism that you guys received?
The criticism that we received, I don't necessarily agree that the intention was any of those things. So no, I don't necessarily. Trying to look at things, you know, objectively, I do understand them saying that, you know, there was conventional attractiveness, but to me, attractiveness is so, like, I understand that there's a standard to what attraction is. I think that it is also
so subjective.
So subjective. And I think personally, as someone who's in the video, even looking at it, I feel as though everyone looked so different. So I think that's why I didn't quite understand. If you do consider everyone attractive, then fine. And I won't argue that, because I think most of the guys in the video were handsome.
And what is fat phobia to you? Like, when you hear about people being fat phobic or fat phobia, like, what is that to you?
To me, being that this is kind of like my first intro into not the word itself, but definitely it being used, you know, to describe me, was very, very interesting. From what I understand, it's, some people would say, a social construct more than it is a personal, you know, disdain for someone who is plus size. And I think they're pretty much just saying that, you know, socially, people who are overweight are sometimes, what's the word I'm looking for?
Oh, I know it too. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Ostracized.
Yeah.
So some people would argue that.
Oppressed.
Oppressed and things of that nature. Me being someone that feels like I have never intentionally oppressed or put out any narrative about a certain group of people like that, it was kind of shocking having those terms thrown at me, in a sense. But there's no doubt in my mind that I understand that everyone has an experience, and people have, you know, spoke out about the experience of being overweight and growing up overweight and, you know, having that experience. So it's not one that I know personally, but it's also nothing I'm going to discredit. I'm sure there is a struggle, as everyone has one.
Okay. So you agree that fat phobia is real?
I think it is real. I think it is a thing. Yes.
In what ways, do you think the video you were in could have possibly contributed to fat phobia, whether it was like intentional or not?
I think as far as the representation aspect, people feel as though there were no quote unquote fat people in the video, which I guess was not intentional or unintentional, to be honest. And I think that's just so, I think it's a very fine line, because to me, although I wouldn't say call anyone in the video fat, I think that we all had different body types, and we all represent, to me, everyday people. According to social media, we don't represent everyday people or everyday couples, but I think that we were all aesthetically very different. I think one of the first things I said, and maybe I'm gullible, but the first thing I said to my partner when I received it was, oh my God, I love how everyone is so aesthetically different. Although we're black couples, everyone is very aesthetically different and, you know, represents a different aspect of what it is, I guess, black love is. I don't think that we're a monolith. So I think at the end of the day, there were so many different personalities, body types, colors, hues, and, you know, things represented in the video.
Yep. Over the years, a new phrase was coined. It's called fit gaze. Like, fit gaze. Do you consider yourself one?
Or gym gaze.
Or gym gaze, yeah. Like, do you consider yourself one?
I don't consider myself a gym gay, a fit gay, a fashion gay, you know, I feel like there is recently this thing where there's just so much separation within the queer community itself, where you almost feel like people are trying to box you into a category. And to me, I
think there's
a
reason to that.
I think it's the reason. I don't think the reason is justified. I think at the end of the day, I'm someone personally, I can only speak for myself, I don't like being boxed in. I don't like necessarily being labeled. And it started with my experience with the hetero community, being someone who's gay and black. I thought that was part of our entire existence, was being boxed in socially. And I resent that. No one's going to tell me who I am, define who I am in any way. So I find it quite shocking that now the queer community is kind of doing that as well. So I do resent it. I think at the end of the day, these are hobbies and things that people enjoy. I don't think it defines who they are. And I'm someone who is extremely multifaceted, if you know me personally. So to put me in the box of like a gym gay, or I can't be an intellectual gay, or I can't be a fashion gay, like, I'm a creative. I'm all things that make up who I am. I don't right. think that can be labeled with this one word.
A lot of people argued create your own when they were like combating against people who didn't feel represented. Do you agree with this?
I was one of the people who responded and said, create your own. And I do agree with the rhetoric in the sense of this video was, you know, curated by a group of friends and people who had an idea to release onto social media. At the end of the day, we were not paid for this video. This was not anything that had to do with marketing, or this is not a company. This was literally a personal video between friends. It wasn't this huge casting, you know, put out for it. And we put together a video that we recorded with our phones and released onto a free app that everyone has access to. And regardless of who you are, you have access to do that. I think that's where I was confused as far as the privilege goes, because I don't think that it takes privilege. This is social media. Now, had this been a platform that was not social media, which we know so many people, millions of people, billions of people are on social media. And my argument is a little that I understand not feeling represented, but I honestly don't feel as though it's my personal job or my friend's personal job to represent every Black gay man, because how could we? All Black gay men are not the same. We're not monolithic. And at the end of the day, I think we were representing our love. That's what it was.
I agree. As a new content creator, like, was this like a lesson learned, an eye opener? Like, what did you take from all of this?
I think there were many lessons to be learned through this experience. I think one of the first for me was understanding that you can't always control the narrative that is put out about you. And that was probably the hardest thing for me. Like, I'm a Capricorn and I'm a bit of a control freak. Even with social media, I'm very strategic about what I show and present to social media, because I don't give access to my entire life. I put out what I want you to have, which I want you to see. And that way I feel like I can somewhat control the narrative. Having people project a lot of different views, opinions, and stereotypes at me was very triggering for me. Anyone who knows me personally would know that I don't stand for those things that they were saying about, and no one in the video that I know of does. So for me, it made me realize that people really don't care about the truth on social media. They care about what's entertaining. It was really frustrating to me, because I'm an individual first before a content creator. I'm a person. And at the end of the day, having people attack you and project these certain ideas that they're putting on you that you've actually never said yourself was really frustrating.
Did you find that the harder you tried to defend yourself, like, the harder it got? Well, the more you tried to defend yourself, the harder it got.
Yeah, I do think that your words can be used. People can twist them. They can be used out of context. And I think that for me, it was about understanding that these people actually have no interest in hearing my truth. And they actually have no interest in hearing me rebuttal anything that they're saying, because they've already made up in their minds that we represent a certain type of person, a certain type of gay. And I felt very stereotyped. I felt put in a box, and that people were really, like, generalizing as if, like, light-skinned gays who are fit, and I'm not even light-skinned for one. And there were so many body types in the video that I felt like it was just inaccurate. And I think that was my issue, because none of us has actually said that. None of us really believe that. And at the end of the day, you can't just be slanderous and say this is like it's really damaging. Out of everything, the most damaging and to me, and I was the most offended by the colorism comments more than anything, me being a brown skin.
And why was that?
I mean, me being a brown skinned man, and also having other brown skinned people, dark skinned people in the video, we would never stand for colorism, obviously, in our own personal lives. And I don't think that any of us felt underrepresented. I think
I felt like there were a lot of different shades of Black people in the video.
I felt so too. So that's what made me kind of feel like some of the comments were falling on deaf ears, because I almost felt like people were just throwing things, and when they didn't land, it was like move on to the next.
Like, it wasn't a video full of light-skinned gay Black men.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't believe so either. So I think that's what I was, like, the most shocked by. And I was kind of like, y'all are really trying to make an argument. And all of these issues are valid. There are, in fact, issues. I just think that this was misdirected at the content that we put out. It was just misdirected. This was not the conversation to be had from this video. For me, I told my friends, I argued that, you know, I expected to, you know, be talked about, like, our relationship, or being called ugly, or being called hoes, or whatever the case may be, whatever you can take from that 15-second clip talking about our outfits, or whatever the case.
But fat phobia was just so out of your mind.
I never imagined fat phobia or colorism, to be honest. I wasn't too shocked even by the they're all attractive, because it's like, okay, I get that to a certain degree. But the other things were just so, like, and I didn't think people would actually be mad at that fact either. Like, I don't know if they were like, oh, well, change your face or change your body or don't be you. Or I told some people, like, what do you want us to do? Just not put the content out at all, because we are who and we only can represent ourselves. And if you feel like you aren't represented, then you should put out something where you feel represented. Like, do what we did.
What type of things were your, like, support? Because there were, just like there were a lot of people against the video, there were so many people that were for you guys and that were supporting. What type of things were the supporters saying?
The supporters were really, like, it was really overwhelming and amazing. Like, there's been so much positive feedback that definitely overcame the negative. And I think Kim K has said this before, like, is it really, like, 100 people offended, or is it just 2 people that are really loud? And that's what it kind of made me think, because it's like there were so many, over 85,000 people clearly liked it. For me, the positive definitely outweighed the negative. A lot of people felt like we represented Black gay love quite well. A lot of people felt that we really, really gave them hope for Black gay love, or love in general, and represented all different types of gay men. I think that for me, one of the things that I notice is that sometimes the argument in Hollywood is with Black gay men specifically, that they're extremely flamboyant. Like, you know what I mean? You have to be, like, damn near androgynous in Hollywood. Like, I've heard this argument.
Yeah,
that
I hear.
That we're shown in the media as, like, super gay, super flamboyant, androgynous, over the top. And I feel as though this was an example of us being Black gay men that we're not extra feminine, but also not extra masculine. Like, we literally were all, I consider, feminine men. And for people saying that we were masculine presenting within a 15-second clip, I think that's a lot to, I think it's very assumptive. You go to one of the couples and they're literally doing one of the more masculine presenting ones, and they're doing Beyonce choreography on their Instagram. You know, like, it's just like one of those things where it's like, you can't take this 15-second clip and make all of these assumptions. And you can make assumptions based off of the video that are in context of the video, but y'all are going into people's personal lives. Y'all are going into all these perceptions of them that you have without personally knowing them.
Got it. Did you discuss this with your partner, and, like, what did he think?
I definitely discussed it with my partner. I'm extremely passionate about most things, honestly. But one of the things I'm the most, like, passionate about is my voice. And I think everyone should be passionate about their voice. And to me, I felt like that was kind of taken away from me.
You felt silenced?
I felt silenced. I felt very, like, I felt stereotyped. I felt like I was being boxed into a certain category of a certain type of individual that is not who I am, based off of physicalities and simply that. So for me, it was extremely frustrating, and he's more passive in general. Like, Devon doesn't really care. He doesn't even have Twitter. He was literally like, oh my God, really? Like, what? Like, he's so passive, and, like, I'm in my phone. I'm the one that's engaged. And I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm just like, I just felt so offended. It almost, to me, felt like, with the people who were attacking us, as if they were almost treating us like we were a different species. Like, we weren't no longer Black gay men ourselves. And as Black gay men, we all deal with similar issues. Yes, some different. But at the end of the day, you're acting as though we have, like, none of the same issues, as if we were, like, are a different species, as if though we are, like, the spawns of Satan. Like, they were just literally going in. They were calling us stupid because you have bodies, you don't have brains, and all of these things. And they could say so many, like, scathing things.
Yeah.
But once we respond anything, it's like, oh my gosh, you're the bad guy. Oh, exactly. This is it, because you have the privilege. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that to me was the most hard part. Like I said, he was more passive, and when I told him about me recording the episode, he was 100% for it, because it's like, it's the perfect time to express yourself, and, like, you know, I think that you have valid points, and at the end of the day, you can't let everyone else control the narrative when you have a platform too.
Have you ever thought, like, the Black gay love isn't represented enough, to the point where any type of Black gay love that is showcased, like, we don't have room to, like, complain about it?
I somewhat agree with that, because at the end of the day, one of the comments I received was, well, they can't say you didn't represent Black gay love adequately because you are Black and gay, and that's all it takes to represent Black gay love. I think that they were almost wanting us to be niched into almost, like, represent maybe a stereotype of what every Black gay person,
and that's just impossible in a 15-second video.
It's definitely impossible, and I'm someone that a lot of my content is based off of, like, self-love and, like, expressing yourself. And to me, I'm someone that I like, one of my personal mottos is, I don't represent every Black person, I don't represent every gay person, I literally represent Zachori. That's the only person I really can, because there are people who have tried to represent other communities or other aesthetics of people and have done it not correctly. And then there's backlash with that too. So for me, most of the things that I do put out when it's content and creatively, it's cathartic. It's for me, to be honest. It's for me. It's not for other people. And I like that some people enjoy it and that people support it and love it, but that was never my intention with putting it out. A lot of it is for me. It's great mental health practice. It relieves me in some way. Like I said, it's really like a good, it's like a hobby, you know? So I do understand that you can't please everyone.
You can't.
And I'm someone that more than likely, I don't try to be honest. Do I think that's necessarily wrong? No, but I understand people not feeling heard, but the same way that I use my art, my voice, you are capable of doing so as well.
How do you feel about the term pretty privilege? And like, do you think you have it? Like, do you think you're one of the privileged?
Pretty privilege is a word that's been fairly new to my vocabulary over the last few years. And I do believe in pretty privilege. And I do think that there are lots of people who benefit from it. I think they're in ways that I do benefit from pretty privilege or attractive privilege based off of some different things. But I think there's intersectionalities, and I think that people forget, like, when people are saying, oh, well, you're fit, and you're this and that, but I'm also brown skin, and I'm also maybe on the leaner side, and I'm also, you know, this height. I don't have a beard. Like, I'm not the epitome of male attractiveness at the end of the day. So people are making it, and even the comments about being overweight as if it automatically makes you unattractive. Some of my bigger friends who I discussed it with were offended because it can't be one or the other. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, there are plenty of people who are not fat that are also still not considered attractive. Yeah. There are plenty of people who are considered fat that are actually really attractive. So I felt like my lesson for all of this is like everyone was being so boxed in when it's so many nuances that contribute to someone's experience. So when it comes to pretty privilege, I think there are people that benefit from it. I think that I can benefit from it in certain ways. But I think that even if you are big, you still can benefit from pretty privilege. Even if you are dark skinned, you still can benefit from attractive privilege. Like, you know what I mean? That's how I see it.
Damn, bitch, you ran took all my did all my questions.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, like I mean, I'm glad I was able to answer all your questions. Do you feel as though I answered them?
Yeah, you answered all of them. What is there anything else you would like to say about the situation? I know, like, it has been like a very draining week for you guys. I feel like everything caught you guys so off guard because you just expected like so much positive, like you just didn't expect this. So
yeah, I
like how has this week been for you?
Like I said, you're correct in the fact that it's been draining because we are like all quarantined here in Los Angeles. So it's like that already is stressful enough, and dealing with social media already, It was a lot, but to be honest, like I said, with it being more positive than negative, I actually don't feel like it was super bad, and I actually don't mind that these conversations have been brought up due to something that we put out. Did I like the way that they were brought up? Did I like the accusations and people being assumptive? No, but I think it is important conversations, that anything that can really help mend the queer community, I'm all for, and I just wish that would have been the approach. Someone argued, well, we're just trying to create community, you can't be mad at that, and I'm like, I don't think that you can't be mad at that, you're right, but it's your way about doing it. You can't say fuck you skinny bitch, you know, but we want to create community, so now we need to be friends. I'm not friends with every person that's fit. I'm not friends with every skinny person. I'm not friends with everyone that looks like me, because if you're not a good person and you're being an asshole, we're not going to be friends. And I think that's simply the case. So at the end of the day, if that was the goal, I find it a bit hard to believe it. I do believe with some people that was purely the goal, but you have people who were going above and beyond. There were people in the video who got things sent to their jobs. Like, people were going to even to those links to try to destroy them. So if you're trying to create community, then I don't really believe that. And in turn, that's what you're doing. At the end of the day, I say this, if we did unintentionally offend or trigger or upset anyone, then, you know, we apologize for that. But you can't say we're so bad for unintentionally offending people, but you are intentionally trying to get people fired from their jobs and going for their likelihood. So did you really want community, or you just want it to, you know, vent, or you just wanted to get out the fact that you were triggered. Maybe we remind you of people that you've encountered in your life.
I think that's what it is for a lot of people. I think the bullies of the world, the things that they have in common is most of them look like you guys. They're attractive. They have all these six packs, and they've just been navigating across the world, just navigating off their pretty privilege. And I think a lot of people were just triggered when they seen the video.
And I think there's a certain level of responsibility, not only for content creators to make sure that they are not, you know, offending people, but there's a certain level of responsibility for individuals. True. When you're on social media. Someone wrote me something and said, you know, I mean, if these people are looking to for every single video, post, or outlet to make them feel represented, then life will be a struggle. Everything in this world is on a spectrum. And I enjoyed the video for its place that it holds on the spectrum of queer people of color, and I really appreciated that. They also said, you know, from knowing you guys virtually and some of you personally, I knew the perspective those people were placing on you all was no way actually connected to the man that I knew in the video. These are people that actually have had conversations and know us in some context. So you can understand why we feel a bit slighted and unrepresented. Like, I felt silenced. You know, I felt like you guys had already created the narrative, and there was no way I could even speak for myself. And that is very important to me.
If you were, like, presented with this opportunity again, like, tomorrow, what would you do differently?
This one's tough because I literally just said to someone that, this is the thing, I have my network of people, I have friends in my personal life that are all very different. They vary in race, color, shape, sizes, all of those things. So to me, I'm someone that knows, I feel confident in what I put out in the world and what it is that I, you know, really who I represent as a person and how I navigate my personal life. So maybe I can't say that I would really do anything differently, because I think at the end of the day, it would almost feel like I'm being bullied into, you know, changing something for other people. And honestly, it's not my job to please everyone at the end of the day. My friends were pleased with the video. Everyone in it was pleased with the video. So many other people were too. Don't feel as though I'm going to really change the context of my content and things that I put out, because I'm comfortable with knowing that everyone's not going to like what you put out, but so many people will. Yeah. And that's the confidence I would want everyone to have. Understand, the world is never going to be satisfied with you no matter what you do.
Even if you change something, yeah, people, there's still going to be a group of people left out, because you just simply cannot represent everybody.
You simply can't. I moved all the content from Twitter onto my Instagram simply because a big part of me on my following, especially on Instagram, is all about doing what's best for you, living your life, and not letting people stop that. So I put those comments and things on my Instagram to show people, whatever you do in life, people are always gonna have something to say about it. Yep. Don't let that stop you. That was my point. Because at the end of the day, you know, not everyone has the courage to put out the content and put out anything because of this. I think that it's a conversation with people who are also on the internet leaving comments to understand that you are making it harder for people who want to use their voice and put themselves out there, and they're afraid to because of the backlash, because of everyone having something negative to say. It's not easy for anyone to put themselves out there, and I find that most people who are always the loudest and the commenters are never the ones who are actually putting themselves out there, their business, their anything, their personalities, their personal life. So I think that I feel very strongly and connected to defending and standing up for yourself. So for that reason, is one reason I did want to engage in the conversation too. Like, I will be heard, and you will know that you can't just silence me. You can't put me in the box. You can't just say, oh, but that's how you feel and that's who you represent. Like, no. But one thing I did read recently on dim.com was this article talking about the gay community's obsession with status and looks.
Dim.com?
Dim.com is, I think, that's what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I posted it on my story because I was like, oh, my, this is, I mean, the timing was immaculate. So I was like, great. This was so on time. But it says the gay community's obsession with status and looks has a huge mental health cost. And it basically talks about gay men and our obsession with status, with looks, with popularity, with all of those things, are individual to the person. Mm-hmm. I think you and I had a conversation about that last night, about how, you know, some people will throw the word popularity around. I think I was shocked to hear some of those people say, yeah, like, you're the popular gays, you're this, because maybe it's just me, but I've never cared about popularity. I've never, even in high school where I felt like that's where it's applicable, I was just like, we're grown. Like, we're literally grown. Like, I literally go to work every day. I literally have things, bills, just like you. And I think that it's these labels, or some people, one of my friends argue they're constructs. And I said, okay, great. So if they're constructs, we all know constructs are made up. They're not even real. So how much weight you give these things in your life is individual to you.
Yeah.
I don't subject myself to it on, I don't emphasize these heavy constructs in my everyday life the way that you do, clearly. And that's fine. It's okay. You're mad because you want to call me a gym gay. And I'm saying, no, I'm not a gym gay. But no, you are. Well, if that's what you believe. And I told him, the thing about social constructs is they only really affect you socially. They only affect how other people interact with you and how other people treat you. It doesn't actually affect you and who you are. You know what I mean? On my daily basis, when I get up and go to work and come home, I'm not thinking, ooh, I really lived my life today as a popular gay. Like, I was so affected and this is what happened. You know, it really contributed to my popularity. Let me get off of social media. Really? Then I'm literally a regular person. Nothing about me is different. So I think that, you know, I think that speaks a lot whenever you have articles like this, basically saying that, you know, to be honest, it, some would argue the fact that these issues sometimes are more so about you individually
than it is about the world.
About the world. And that's kind of where I was coming from. I was just kind of like, I understand, because we all are oppressed in some way. And as a brown-skinned guy in the video, I'll tell you, I didn't feel one bit of insecure or inadequate to anybody else in the video of lighter complexion. My boyfriend and I probably are the biggest difference in complexion from the video. I wake up next to him every day and I don't feel inadequate. I don't feel the type of way, but that's just the way that I view my melanin, my complexion, and, you know, the way that I navigate the world. So I think I would really encourage everyone to read up on that article and understand that these things that y'all are holding so highly may be the reason that you're affected so deeply by them. You know, if these things are affecting our mental health, which, you know, research shows, is like maybe these things that you prioritize in your life are the reason. I'm someone that's never cared about popularity. Like, I can, even me in neither. School and get into my adult life, I actually am still newer to an online presence. And even when I wasn't, I still didn't really use the terminology of popular gay or non-popular gay, or I've always just felt very confident in what I have to offer, regardless of who it reaches or who pays attention or who I know. And some people even alluded to the fact that maybe the reason that some of us are even friends is based off of our attractive privilege and, you know, the way that we navigate in life.
Do you think that is true?
I don't think that's true. I think most people don't really know that me and the twins are actually been best friends since the sixth grade.
Yeah, I know that.
Since sixth grade. So literally, social media popularity, none of these things actually have anything to actually do with our friendship at all. Our families know each other. Our families are integrated. And it's like, again, these are the assumptions that people are coming up with, and they're just running with it. And the truth of the matter is, like, no one really cares about the truth. One of my friends actually has his own YouTube channel and did a video about, like, covering the story and, like, the video and all of those things. And we had to have a conversation because I felt very misrepresented in the video.
Like, why? What was it?
There were certain things that he was saying that kind of alluded to the same things other people were saying online, which, coming from someone who kind of knows you personally, at least interacts with you and knows you socially, I guess.
Right.
You would expect him to have more of an accurate kind of look on it. So some of the things he said were the fact that, you know, we all do work that pretty much benefits from us being attractive, and that...
And that's not true at all.
It's not true. You do actually, professionally... you don't know what most of us do. So actually, I thought that was, like, really inaccurate. I think that we have people that are in law school from the video that are working for the government in law. We have a life coach, a relationship coach. We have people who work retail. We have, like, so many different things. So, you know, we are quite every day, actually. So I thought that that was, like, really, you know, it wasn't really accurate. Also, kind of using the verbiage of the quote-unquote popular gay is subjective and depends on how you see it. He did say a lot of great things, too, which was, like, you know, he's never experienced us being fat phobic or any type of, like, and that we were all very friendly to him, actually, when first moving here, and very supportive, which I did appreciate. But there were just, like, a couple things where I felt like if you were going to go on the limb and say you knew us personally, then you actually need to have to release the proper and accurate information, because we all know that you hold more weight than a lot of these people online when you say you know us personally.
Yeah.
So, but I run to respect everyone and their point of view and their perspective, and at the end of the day, in a way that does not villainize me or project, you know, your own opinions and thoughts I don't mind you having having your views on these situations. I do, you know, care that you are painting a certain narrative of me and other people that is inaccurate. That's
because
all.
It's harmful. At the end of the day, it is harmful.
Yeah, not only with an online presence, but also personally. You know, there are actually one of the guys from the video saying that some of his friends that he's known for years unfollowed him for taking some of his stuff he said out of context. And, you know, like people trying to go to the links to get him fired from his job and just being really hateful. And I think it's just ridiculous and awful. And it was never that serious. Even if you did feel offended, we all know that it was unintentional. So for you to intentionally go there and be so scathing is just like, I see why people really kind of sometimes keep their position that they have. You're being attacking. You're not trying to be productive. You're not trying to have an actual conversation that is actually going to lead to resolution. But I mean, I just want to conclude the video by saying that I do believe everyone has an experience and these things do in fact exist. And I think many of us, if not, have suffered from at least one of them, whether it's fat phobia, whether it's colorism, whether it's attractive privilege, whether it's what we, all of us have either been on one side or the other. I don't necessarily think that that means villainize the people that may have been on the benefiting side unless they really presented something very awful and said things actually very awful, like verbally. But the people's critique was, it's not anything that we actually did or said, it's what we didn't do and say. And who wants to navigate the world being responsible and accountable for the things they didn't do and say? I'm responsible for the things that I say and do.
And to wrap things up, if you can take anything from this, like, what would you take?
I would take that, understand that sometimes no response is the best response, that you really can't control the narrative. You can only control yourself in every situation. So I think that's what I want to take for it, and understanding that people online, especially if they don't really care for you, have no interest in actually hearing what you have to say. That's what I took from it. What I want everyone to take from this is that I want everyone to understand that you have your own personal soul responsibilities when navigating this world, to understand your position and your stance, and also to understand other people is not... people aren't always against you. I think that's what it is.
Right.
If we want community, and we want, especially in the queer community, it's like the most hurtful, because it's like we are already so separated from our very own counterparts. You know, like we're already oppressed. Already oppressed. And everyone's acting like we, if anything, were more oppressive than our counterparts. You would think that we did something really awful to these people, and personally even. So I just think that with the queer community, I would love to see a lot more unity and community. I think what will take that is sometimes lowering these labels, really stop trying to compartmentalize each other so much, and let's connect on an individual versus individual basis. You know, I think that's why we wanted to get away from labels in the first place. And now we have them, and some of you live by them and swear by them. And that's fine, but understand that some people don't as well. And, you know, that's why I want to leave. And also leave everyone understanding that, you know, live your life and understand that everyone's not going to be happy about it, what you're doing, but you will find people that really support it too. You can't continue to change yourself to please everyone else. I think that's the biggest thing. And use your voice, no matter who you are. I think that's just use your voice. So that's all I want to say. I think, you know, we did really good at covering everything as far as the video. Hopefully everyone gets a little more understanding, at least my point of view, and, you know, the point
and
of view.
And make sure y'all go check the video out. It's very cute. It's
yeah, like it's really
a
cute.
Whole bunch
it's
of still, cute couples.
It's still, don't say that. We are everyday couples, actually. There's a lot of everyday couples you will see. And it's still up on my Instagram, which is Zakori Uncensored. My Twitter is also Zakori Uncensored. So you can go check it out there. Make sure you keep up with us on there. And also check out some of Pierre's content and stuff.
You can find me everywhere at Prince Charming P.
Yes, he's my favorite problematic nigga, I like to call him. And, you know, he's great. But yeah, thanks guys for taking time to listen. We hope that you learned something. Feel free to, you know, inbox me. Feel free to tweet me. Feel free to write me with any, like, you know, positivity. We want to stray away from negativity right now. But, you know, we're open to, you know, hearing what you guys have to say. You can also subscribe and leave comments as well. Yeah, and... you know, maybe we'll be back next week with another episode of Politically Uncensored. Stay tuned.